Hello and welcome to the Thursday, February 4th edition of Juneau Afternoon on your very own KTOO station in Juneau, Alaska. We'll be talking with what's going on at UAS. We'll get a preview of First Friday, lots of different things about First Friday, which is tomorrow, and hear about a fundraiser for the canvas, and of course end with Nancy DeCherney and Arts Up. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Senators delivered strong words to health officials Wednesday during an oversight hearing on substandard Indian health care. Members of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs focused on the Indian Health Service Great Plains area, which serves thousands of people in four states. Some of the long-standing issues, senators say, are inadequate funding, lack of accountability, and problems with workforce recruitment and retention. Senator John Thune from South Dakota listed a number of government report findings from his state. He highlighted serious problems on the Rosebud Reservation, such as dirty and unsanitized equipment left exposed in the ER, and a woman who prematurely gave birth on a bathroom floor. Committee Chair Senator John Barrasso pointed out that problems have not been resolved since the committee held a similar hearing and investigation 5 years ago. He says some issues have worsened and new ones have developed.
This committee will not accept any more cover-ups, politicking. This is not a game. People's lives are at risk.
Former Senator Byron Dorgan, who led the 2010 Indian Health Service investigation, testified Wednesday.
This system doesn't work unless there's accountability. When there is fraud, when there's misconduct, when there's incompetence, when there's criminal activity, you don't need a long investigation for that. You fire folks that are involved in it and move on with competent people to run the system. And that has not happened. It has not happened, not just for the last 5 years or the last 10 or the last 15 years. Decade after decade, we've seen these problems. Administration after administration, we've seen these problems. Now, there's just no way to really sugarcoat what we're dealing with.
Health officials committed to reforms and talked about current efforts to improve care in the Great Plains, including augmenting personnel and leadership locally and nationally, and work to establish a council of senior executives across the Health and Human Services Agency to work on a number of issues, including workforce development. Senators called on their colleagues to secure appropriations and work with tribal leaders and the federal government. A listening session, which included testimony from tribal leaders, was held after the hearing. Washington state lawmakers held a committee meeting this week to hear testimony for a proposal which asks the federal government to support restoring salmon runs on the Columbia River. Steve Jackson reports.
Salmon runs on the upper Columbia River were halted by dam construction back in the early 1940s. On Tuesday in the House Agriculture and Natural Affairs Committee, a hearing was held to ask for federal support of plans to restore the salmon populations. The bill's prime sponsor says now is a good time to move forward because there's an ongoing renewal of the Columbia River Treaty and new technology available to get fish past the dams with minimal impact on hydro generation. The measure calls for exploring ways to reintroduce the fish behind the dams and provide passage for them to migrate to and from the ocean. Spokesman for the Upper Columbia United Tribes, D.R. Michelle, says bringing back the salmon and steelhead would be great news for the region's Native Americans.
For the tribes and citizens of northeastern Washington, reintroduced salmon offer a healthy food source returning from the ocean without the contamination concerns that surround many of our resident fish species.
There are concerns with some of the native fish in the region that have been exposed to mining waste. D.R. Michelle also tried to reassure those who were concerned that introducing fish protected by the Endangered Species Act would complicate the situation for others living in the region, saying the proposed reintroduction would focus on non-ESA-listed salmon runs, specifically summer Chinook and sockeye. The legislation would not carry the effect of law, but only be a request for the feds to support such a program. For National Native News, I'm Steve Jackson reporting from Spokane.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
If you or a loved one suffer from alcohol addiction, hear how recovery is possible from those who've had their day one at KNBA.org. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Juneau Afternoon on, what you said before, your very own KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I am Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. And the weather right now, there's a strong wind in effect through Thursday, an advisory. So today, right now, it's raining. Tonight will be raining, lows 33 to 39. You know, we're looking for that magic number of 32 around here, at least some of us. And then tomorrow night, rain showers likely, but that should not deter you from checking out First Friday. There's a lot going on in Juneau. Right now, it's 6 minutes past the hour. We're going to kick off the show with Katie Bosler, who's here from UAS. Hey, Katie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Joan?
I'm doing pretty well. The rain's not going to be down yet.
Well, we do live in a rainforest, and sometimes it's rain all year, right?
It is, even though we are hoping for snow.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us, what is going on at UAS this weekend? It sounds like there is quite a bit.
There is quite a bit. I just want to give a recap of our Sound in Motion event. We are in the throes of our annual Spring Arts and Culture series. And the presenter for Friday night's talk was here Tuesday talking about it, Robin Walls, our professor of history, very popular professor of history. But I just want to give a kind of a brief recap. Professor Walls will be giving a talk on Viewing the Elephant Man, how science and commerce reconfigured the grotesque body. So this will examine the collusion between medical science and commerce in the 19th century and question the use of corrective therapies today. So this should be pretty fascinating. Now, this is in collaboration with the Juneau Libraries and the Gold Town Theater. Also on Tuesday, Colette Costa from the Gold Town and Beth Weigel from the library were here talking about this. So this is a grant-funded thing called Science on Screen, and this is the first installment with support from the Alfred Sloan Foundation. So you have this talk Friday night, Egan Lecture Hall, always free, 7 o'clock with Robin Walls. And then he'll also give a talk on Friday, February 7th, Sunday at 6 at the Gold Town. And then the talk is actually separate in the UAS case from the film screenings. The film will be shown Sunday, the 7th of February, at the Gold Town at 4 and 7. And then it'll also be shown in a couple weeks, the 26th of February at 3:30 at the Mendenhall Valley, the new library. So there's a poster around town. It's in the arts calendars. The information is on the UAS website as far as the Sound in Motion presentation. And, of course, I'm sure with the Gold Town sites and the library.
Yeah. The Sound in Motion series, we've been lucky enough to be able to interview quite a few people who have been doing lectures and all different types of interactive stuff out at the college, at the university campus. So tomorrow night is Robin Walls, who is a fascinating speaker, talking about this topic in collaboration, many different opportunities to talk about it, then go see the film. But is this the end of the Sound in Motion series?
Oh, no.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yes, I was out of the country for a couple of weeks, so I'm kind of a little bit late in getting to this. But, yeah, we have a series of events on many Fridays through April 15th.
Oh, woo-hoo.
So it's really exciting. The next February, the 12th of February, we have a Yupik singer and drummer coming in named Byron Nikolai, and he's kind of a young rock star. He's a teenager.
Coming from where?
He's from Tuksuk Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And he has an album called I Sing, You Dance. He started out doing YouTube videos. and just kind of went viral all over the place. And
what's the name again? So we can check it out.
His name is Byron Nicolai.
Okay, great.
And he also will be doing some workshops in towns, but he'll be at UAS for Sound and Motion performing at the Egan Library Friday the 12th at 7. And then the following Friday, the 19th, is the annual. This is, I think, the 7th or 8th annual now. Treasures from the State. It's the 7th annual. Treasures from the State Film Archives with Damon Stubner, who works at the library, and he works at the Alaska State Historical Collection, and he always just kind of takes these gems, old films from the past decades, and this year's he's featuring a film about our artist Fred McIntyre's, a film about the culture and legends of the Tlingit, and The Great American Lumberjack, a PBS documentary about living and working at a logging camp in southeast Alaska. So, it's like this every year. It's always an absolute hoot to see this old stuff. And, Damon curates it very well. So I highly recommend that. That's the 19th of February. And then we have two more in March. The thing that's different about the Sound of Motion series is it's not every Friday like Evening at Egan. It happens to be most Fridays in February. We have two Fridays in March. The fourth will be an experimental women's musical ensemble called Harm. One of the members is Annie Bartholomew,
who
runs Excellent Radio, and
these
are her friends from Fairbanks. So you'll be hearing more about this, but I'm looking forward to that at the lecture hall. Then we're kind of an annual event now with Sound in Motion. The Woosh K Poetry Slam will take place at UAS Lecture Hall the 25th of March. Our photography adjunct professor, Ben Huff, will do a presentation called Photography in Alaska, in a Changing Alaska. That'll be the 8th of February. And then, 8th of April, I'm getting ahead of myself. And then finally, the 15th of April is another annual event, the Title Echoes Literary and Arts Journal launch.
Oh, that sounds great.
So more details about this. There's posters around town. You can go to the UAS website and just go to the Juno page and then just look at the Sound of Motion icon, click on it, or just sort of, we have a kind of a cool search within the UAS website. If you just punched in Sound and Motion, you could find the whole schedule.
What a great series. So that's the whole lineup all the way until April. But besides Professor Wallace's talk tomorrow night, you've got a Winterfest going on at UAS.
Right, yeah. Our Student Activities Board has their annual Winterfest, and there's quite a few events that they have planned, both for students and including the general public. So as far as the public events, also tomorrow night, Friday night, at the Rec Center, is a coffee house concert with an up-and-coming singer-songwriter named Raquel Cole. And so they'll be serving free warm beverages, and she'll be playing kind of heartwarming, evocative live music. And that should be a really fun event. The public is invited to that. That's geared towards students, but 7:30 at the Rec Center. So we have a couple different things going on a Friday night at UAS. But, UAS is a happening place.
It is.
And then Sunday is, drum roll please, Saturday. Saturday, 11:30 a.m. Is the Polar Plunge. That is an annual event that, as I understand this year, our chancellor, Rick Caulfield, will be participating in.
And this is open to the public? You don't have to show your student ID on your way to the drink.
It is open to the public, but you are required to register. So you're going to want to call 796-6313, or I just say call 796-6000 and ask about registration for the Polar Plunge if you want to participate. But it's always fun just to go out and watch it, right? So this is also a chance to raise some funds. And so
and where is the Polar Plunge?
It is actually taking place in the Auk Bay Harbor boat launch.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Woo. Jump into Auk Bay on Saturday the 6th at 11:30, or at least come and watch. And they're going to be providing hot beverages as well. But go figure for that one, right?
Exactly.
So it says, if you do register and participate, remember to bring a towel and a change of clothes. And the donations are managed through the Student Activities Office. So again, I'd call 796-6000 about that. And all proceeds this year will be donated to the AWARE shelter.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And then besides the Winterfest includes a couple of other activities.
It does. The other two activities are open just to students, but just for UAS students who might be listening, I want to let you know these events are open to you. And so Saturday night at 6:30 at 7:30, February 6th, is a Winterfest bonfire at the Noise Pavilion. And
that sounds fun.
More hot beverages. It's a hot beverage weekend at UAS, and snacks and some music too. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Gather around the fire. Everyone's familiar with that lovely Noise Pavilion, sort of the big structure up on the hill. Now it's next door to our residence hall.
Mm-hmm. Your freshman housing, right?
Yes. And then finally on the 7th, Sunday, back to the rec center again for students only, is a Super Bowl party.
Oh, fun.
And it says Super Bowl 50, so does that mean the Super Bowl is 50 years old?
You know, somebody Google it for us and search it
maybe
for us.
Maybe that'll get you to a Super Bowl party.
That's a sidebar off the air.
Okay.
Anyway,
sorry.
We cannot comment on that.
Yeah, but more free snacks and drinks. I imagine there'll be both cold and warm beverages. Alcohol-free, of course. It's on campus. But 2 o'clock at the rec center for students.
Sounds great. So that's a lot. And, of course, you could always check out what's going on at UAS by going to the website, which is comprehensive. And one more thing about that website. We were chatting before we went on the air. It sounds like the summer schedule is online. Is that true?
It is. Yeah, just this week. The summer schedule is open for summer courses. So if you want to take a look at what you can take this summer, you would just go to, again, uas.alaska.edu. You can punch in schedule or just slash schedule. And there's this called the summer search. Just click on that, and you can kind of – it's a pretty intuitive search by campus or by subject or by – everything.
By anything. Yes. However you want to back into this.
Yeah.
So we're going to end. What's our musical piece that we're going to end with?
Well, our musical piece is something by Raquel Cole, who will be playing a coffee house concert free and open to the public and students at UAS tomorrow night at the Rec Center at 7:30.
Sounds great. So we're going to do that. Katie, thanks for coming by. We're going to listen to Raquel Cole. And if you want to check it out, you could do it tomorrow at 7:30. And we'll be right back with our next guest.
Thank you, Joan.
Set a date, figure out a time. Are you free this week? How about Friday night? It's for real this time. Been thinking about this in the back of my mind. Waited for the moment, now it finally feels right. I'm for real this time.
It is 19 past the hour on February 4th, and it is Orleans, 39 at the airport in downtown, and startling 38 in the Mendenhall Valley. And you are listening to KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. Our next guest is Tristan Nutzen-Lombardo, who is here to talk about First Friday event at the Rookery. And Tristan, besides being a track coach, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He is here wearing his sale hat because it's a fundraiser. It's First Friday and a fundraiser for sale. Is that correct?
It is. Yeah, there's a lot of love for sale right now in the air. We are having an art showing and dinner at the Rookery tomorrow. We have 24 local artists that have decorated hearts. They all have a heart for sale, one of whom is in the studio with us today.
And it's not me, so it's got to be Jeffrey.
So people from the community have decorated these hearts. They're up for a display, and they're going to be open for bid tomorrow evening. It's all...
Okay, I have some questions.
Ask away.
When you say you have a heart for sale, so there's love for sale,
love for sale,
of course, for the sale and for the sale organization.
Yes.
But when you say there's hearts for sale by a couple of dozen artists in town, what kind of hearts are we talking about? Are we talking about all different types of mediums? Are we talking, you know, what are we talking about?
Yeah, this is the really cool thing about this project. We've actually, this is a rotating event that we do in our offices around Southeast. And so it's Juno's turn to host this year. And we just cut out a bunch of wooden hearts. And we said, it was a blank canvas. We gave it to the artists and we said, use your creativity and come back. So a lot of people, we had people... they painted on there. Lily Hope did a great Chilcat design on her heart. We have a couple of stained glass hearts that came back, so they just burned the wood and they said, I've got a whole different idea. We have quilted and textile hearts. Somebody took, Laura Hosey took aluminum cans and bent them and did this whole like garden 3D display on her heart. So people were really creative with what their designs. And
right. I think that sounds like an understatement.
Yeah.
I loved it sitting here. My eyebrows are like through the roof. I'm like, wow, what a town, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
what
it's great.
Creative outlet. Okay, so the hearts are for sale and it's a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on with the dinner tomorrow night? What's the dinner part? So we have the art part.
We do. So... I'll kind of give the lay of the land for the evening. So from 4 to 6 during the First Friday Gallery Walk, they're open for bid to the whole community. People can come in, stop by the Rookery, grab a tea, cup of coffee, bid on your favorite heart or hearts. And it's open to anybody. So from 4 to 6, people can come walk through. Reed Gardinier is going to play some music for us. He's going to provide the soft background music that's encouraging for bidding. And then the doors close at 6 because at 6:30 we reopen for a ticketed dinner. And so the attendees at that ticketed dinner get the last shot at bidding on their favorite heart.
Oh, great. And is that ticketed dinner sold out?
I just checked before I came here. We have 6 spots left. So,
and how much is the tickets?
They're $65. And if you want a seat, I suggest you order soon because we expect it to sell out.
They're gonna go.
Yeah.
And it's a four-course dinner.
Four-course dinner. And in between each course, you're going to hear from 4 different individuals, all who have a heart for sale. They have a different connection to sale and organization, and they're going to share a little bit about that connection and why they have a lot of love for us during this Valentine month.
What a great fundraiser.
Yeah.
What a great – I'm so happy that – it's Juno's turn.
I am too, yes.
That sounds great. And then Reed is a young artist.
Mm-hmm, he is.
High school student?
He's in middle school. And actually his sister Electra did a heart for us as well. And so, yeah, the beautiful thing about it is there's a lot of people from different parts of our community that, you know, artists and people that are contributing that maybe don't realize that they have some sort of connection to sale or they – so it's a great way to learn about us as an organization.
Let's do that right now. Let's roll it back. So I know what sale is. You know what sale is. But what is sale and what does it do for the community?
That's a great question. SALE stands for Southeast Alaska Independent Living. We are Juneau and Southeast Alaska's Independent Living Center, and we're also an Aging and Disability Resource Center. So we serve people of all ages, any disability, as well as seniors and elders. So a lot of folks come to us and they have questions about you know, I recently became disabled, or somebody's moving in with me. My grandma has moved back. I'm taking care of her. And they have a lot of questions about where to go, what to do. So if we can't provide the help or the service ourselves, we work with people to connect them to the right services, navigate different systems.
So it's services, it's resources.
It is, yeah. We run support groups. We have a low vision support group, a traumatic brain injury support group. We have our popular recreation program. Folks see us giving lessons up on the mountain on the weekend. We're out kayaking in the summertime. We get a lot of questions, and increasingly so with benefits, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, as we expand across our state. So we're there to help people out as they age in the community they want to live in, or to navigate, you know, the lots of different systems out there. So
okay. So if people want to know some information about your organization, it's SAIL, and they could look it up on the web, I assume.
You can look it up on the web. I will say our acronym is tricky because you will probably get yacht clubs and boating and things like that. So the best way is to, our website's address is simple, SAILINC.org, sailinc.org. You can also give us a call, 586-4920, and we're at the corner of Hospital Drive and Glacier Highway. So before you head up to the hospital, swing by our office, say hi.
Sounds great. And then tomorrow night, 4 to 6, open to the public, part of First Friday at the Rookery.
Mm-hmm.
Put your bid in on one of these 24 hearts.
Yes.
And then if you want one of those 6 tickets for the Rookery dinner that starts at 6:30 and the chance to do the last bidding,
yes,
on the hearts. And
get the
of course final all the
say.
Proceeds go to
sale.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you nab one of those 6 remaining?
You can go on our website again, sailinc.org, SAILINC, or you can give us a call, 586-4920, and we will do our best to help you get one of those last 6 tickets to the dinner.
Okay. I have this feeling that the phone's ringing right now.
I do too. I better get back to the office.
Exactly. Well, thank you for coming in today, and thank you for all you do for our community.
Yes. Thank you, Joan.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
You gotta have heart. All you really need is heart. When the odds are saying you'll never win, that's when the grin should start. You gotta have hope. Mustn't sit around and mope. Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year and hope. When your luck is batting zero, get your chin up off the floor. Mister, you can be a hero. You can open any door. There's nothing to it but to do it. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles and miles of heart. Oh, it's fine to be a genius, of course. But keep that old horse before the cart. First, you gotta have heart. A great slugger we haven't got.
A great pitcher we haven't got. A great ball club we haven't got.
What do we got? We've got heart.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
Hello, you are listening to Juneau Afternoon in Juneau, Alaska. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I am Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. It is 29 minutes past the hour, and our next guest is Jerry Smetzer. He is here. He is part of the building at the moment. He has 10 panels. He is the artist that it will be showing his work. It's actually been held over in the KTOO building during First Friday or any time. It's open to the public during the day. And he's here to chat about his paintings. And he's also got this beautiful book, this Japanese-style accordion fold book.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about your art, Jerry. So 10 panels. So we talked a little before, which was probably about a month ago. Yeah. So these 10 panels, this idea of the show, how did it come to you?
It kind of evolved out of a series of working with a model who I had worked with before, who agreed to do some private posing. And as we worked through some poses, I began to see, you know, that there might be a story here. And after a lot of thinking and writing and fiddling around and outlining and that sort of thing, I came up with the 10 topic titles that you see here, which are the names of the panels.
Right. And so the name of the show is Walkabout.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Walkabout, yes. The 10 panels are actually 20 by 26 inch oil on canvas panels, and they're in sequence. So you've got panel one is Savannah, which starts out with my hero, who is the young woman. She starts out in the savannah as a hunter, a huntress, I guess, whichever. And it works through a commerce where the image is Egyptian. They're among the first people to sit down and say, well, I got something to sell. And the other guy says, well, I got a little money to pay for it. And that's started commerce.
And here we are thousands of years later.
Yeah. Commerce has deep roots, very deep roots. But so does War, which is the third panel. War, that particular panel, is took off from the panel that was found in Vesuvius, Pompeii. It was one of the mosaics that was on the floor covered in ash. When they uncovered it, it was a picture of Alexander the Great engaging Darius the Persian. And that's the backdrop on that particular panel.
And, beautiful.
And I've added in, as I do in all the panels, I've added in the young woman who is kind of the subject of this journey, this walkabout. Literally, walkabout, by the way, has an interesting history. It's about Aboriginal
Australians,
yes, and they have a bow and arrow and a knife and some stuff, you know, and they go off into the desert
for a walkabout.
A walkabout.
And is it a predestined? They said a predetermined amount of time.
There's no. It could be a few weeks, a few months.
I know.
It would be almost a year.
It seems like it would be an oxymoron if you're going for a walkabout, but you have to do it in a certain time.
Yeah, no, you can't do it in the time frame. It's not a walkabout. It's a schedule.
Okay, so we went from commerce to war to protect your commerce, I would imagine.
Exactly,
And then to faith.
Well, after you kill a bunch of people in warfare, why, people tend to want some faith. They'd like to think there's something more than that. That's my thinking, anyway.
Yeah, well, we're going to... We're going to leave that. We're going to keep on going, we're going to go to panel five, which is the collapse.
Yeah, the collapse. That's hooked to the plague. And that's one of the two panels that have actually got language on them. And the language in this case is Bring Me Your Dead, which is a line out of Monty Python.
I noticed that, and I noticed that when I came up the stairs. Every time I've walked by that, I'm like, I know that line. And then we go to Rebirth,
which is the restoration, Renaissance, essentially, and my favorite Renaissance person, who's actually Leonardo, although the prime character here is David, our actual representation of David, if he were a woman, which he's not.
Correct.
Leonardo is the main guy I was trying to focus on because of paper and airplanes and stuff like that.
Renaissance, yeah. And then the New World, so here we are in the America.
The Enlightenment, essentially.
Okay. And then panel eight is I Am Become Death.
That is the phrase that Robert Oppenheimer said. He was the guy in charge of the Manhattan Project, building the atomic bomb in World War II. When they fired off the first bomb, he said, now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds, which is out of the Bhagavad Gita.
Which is an ancient yoga sutra.
Oh, well, it's somewhere Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. I don't know the history of it that well, but I do know that line. It's a very powerful line,
right,
given the context.
And then it looks like we go to the 60s, 70s to chaos.
Wasn't it?
I was on the tail end of it. And like with Katie, I will neither confirm nor deny anything about that time period.
But I did a lot of mashup of images in the 60s. That did go to the 60s. I was in the Haight-Ashbury in 1967, so I have some feel for it.
Okay. Now, that's a whole other interview.
Well, I was just a tourist, mind you.
Of course. Yeah, of course. So aren't
yes.
we all?
Yes, yes, exactly.
And then you end with the Tree of Life. Let's talk about that.
Well, I'd like to talk about it, except that kind of it's intended to wrap up the first 9 panels and give a sense of hope. I can't think of anything that gives more of a sense of hope than having a baby, frankly. So that was part of what went into this image. Beyond that, I'm not sure how else to tie it up, except to talk a bit about the Tree of Life itself, which is an ancient concept in all cultures.
Absolutely. Well, this is really fascinating. So there's the 10 panels. They're here in the studio at the KTOO building.
Yes.
Tomorrow night is First Friday, so the building will be open from 4 to 6.
I'm going to do a seminar talking about how I put these images together after the reception.
Okay, great. What time is that?
6 to 7.
Okay, great. And then you have this beautiful Japanese-style accordion
fold. Yes, I'm going to deliver those down to my my agents at Hearthside Books. And Alaska Robotics has also got some books for sale. So.
Okay, great. So if this has piqued your interest, come and find out more.
Yes.
And if you could come tomorrow, that would be great. There'll be a seminar. And if not, the art will be on the walls.
And I am happy if somebody wants to give me a call. I'd be happy to give them a tour of the pair and
That sounds great. And what's the number on that?
586-1215.
Okay. Jerry, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for this opportunity.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with the canvas. Okay.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 4th of February, 2016. It's the birthday of Betty Friedan, born 1921 in Peoria, Illinois, author of The Feminine Mystique, which came out in 1963, one of the most influential nonfiction books of the 20th century, about educated women at the end of World War II who were leading ostensibly idyllic domestic lives and yet who felt unfulfilled, unhappy, and restless. It's the birthday of Charles A. Lindbergh, born in Detroit, 1902, who in 1927 became the first man to fly solo nonstop across the Atlantic Ocean, New York to Paris. It's the birthday in London, 1916, of the poet Gavin Ewart, author of many books of poetry, started writing poetry early when he was just 17, and then when World War II broke out, he stopped for about 20 years. His collection Londoners came out in 1964. Gavin Ewart, who wrote, "For nursery days are gone, nightmare is real, and there are no god fairies. The fox's teeth are in the bunny, and nothing can remove them, honey." It's the birthday of the novelist and short story writer Robert Coover, born Charles City, Iowa, in 1932, whose first novel was The Origin of the Brunists, 1966, about the lone survivor of a mining accident, goes on to start a religious cult. Robert Coover, who said he writes because art blows life into the lifeless, death into the deathless, author of The Universal Baseball Association Incorporated, The Public Burning, and A Child Again. It was on this day, 1789, the Electoral College unanimously elected George Washington, the first president of the United States. It's the birthday of the novelist McKinley Cantor, born in Webster City, Iowa, 1904. Wrote a number of Civil War novels, including Andersonville, which he spent 25 years researching before it came out in 1955, about the Confederate prison camp where 50,000 Union soldiers died. It's the birthday of the writer Stuart Onan, born in Pittsburgh, 1961, worked as an aerospace engineer for years, and in the evenings went down to his basement to write. Published his first novel, Snow Angels, in 1994, about a murder in a small town in western Pennsylvania. Stuart Onan, who said, "My own life isn't terribly interesting, even to myself, and that is why I write about people and places so different from the ones I know." Here's a poem for today by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, "The Cross of Snow." In the long sleepless watches of the night. A gentle face, the face of one long dead, looks at me from the wall, where round its head the night lamp casts a halo of pale light. Here in this room she died, and soul more white never through martyrdom of fire was led to its repose, nor can in books be read the legend of a life more benedite. There is a mountain in the distant west that sun-defying in its deep ravines displays a cross of snow upon its side, such as the cross I wear upon my breast these 18 years, through all the changing scenes and seasons, changeless since the day she died. The Cross of Snow, a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices, subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org, and by lumosity.com, brain training developed by scientists to challenge memory and problem solving through online games, lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Sometimes love is hell. That's what it was like for Orpheus after his wife was bitten by a snake and died. So he decided to go to the underworld to get her back. Now that's love. L'Orfeo, or The Tale of Orpheus, runs at Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium Valentine's Day weekend. Take your sweetie to see this work by the avant-garde master of the Baroque, Claudio Monteverdi. Friday and Saturday, February 12th and 13th at 7:30 p.m. and a Valentine's Day matinee at 3 p.m. Tickets available at all Vendini locations as well as online at orpheusproject.org.
Hello, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTOO in Juneau, Alaska. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. Brandon Howard is here. He is the artistic coordinator for the Canvas, and he's here to talk about First Friday and an upcoming fundraiser. Say, hey, Brandon, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joan.
Yeah. So first, before we even talk about the First Friday and the art that will be going on at the Canvas and other locations and your fundraiser, can we talk a little bit about Canvas? I think that our community members really know the Canvas for the amazing art that they produce and the art classes, but it's more than that. So can we talk a little bit about the organization that you work with?
Yeah, so the Canvas is an arm of Reach, Reach offers a wide array of services for individuals who experience developmental disabilities. And the main goal of the Canvas is really to be a part of the community that is inclusive of people with disabilities. And so the Canvas, through art, because it really is a great unifier, it's such an amazing universal. Everybody, has some means of expression to offer and something to offer. And so the Canvas, it creates that inclusion and that bridge through the arts. And we do that through classes, through exhibits. We offer community classes, and those classes are inclusive. We have artists that we work with that participate in the evening classes. Our gallery exhibits, we sometimes have group shows that show work by a multitude of artists. We also give artists, regardless of ability, the opportunity to show their work.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So, yeah.
Thank you for all you do on that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one of the Juneau institutions, First Friday.
Yes.
And tomorrow's no exception. It's First Friday of February. And what's going on at the Canvas?
So this First Friday, we are particularly excited because we actually have two exhibits out in the community this Friday. At the City Museum, we have a show by Avery Skaggs called Kinetic. And Avery last year had an exhibit at the Jack. It was fantastic, really, really beautiful. And this one at the City Museum is even more spectacular. I think he has 25 pieces in it.
And what's his medium?
So Avery works with acrylic on boards, and they're really, really spectacular. Incredible movement, incredible marks. They are abstract, and they've got they're really spectacular. They're beautiful. I mean,
I have some questions. So yeah. We were talking during the break about the description here on the First Friday sheet is it's an exploration of mark making, capturing kinetic movement, which you were just speaking to. Can you tell me and our listeners what mark making is?
Yeah. So every artist, when you're talking about painters or people who draw or work in charcoal, you can really see the mark of the individual, the way they approach brush stroke or line. Everybody has kind of a unique mark making. And Avery's work really is about his very free and energetic mark making. His paintings really are all about the marks and the palettes. They're generally pretty large scale. I think some of his pieces are 24 by 36 inches, so fairly substantial. Really loose and just spectacular.
And that's at the City Museum?
So that is at the City Museum, and that opens tomorrow at 4:30.
And it'll be there all month.
And it'll be there all month. And that's an exhibit that we're really excited for. Avery's been working on these pieces for over a year now.
And how many? And you really did say how many about him?
They're either 24 or 25 pieces.
So that's a lot.
It is. So definitely go check that out tomorrow evening. Opens at 4:30. It's going to be a really strong exhibit. The other one that we have that I'm absolutely thrilled about is an exhibit by our ceramic studio manager, Mercedes Munoz. And being a potter myself, I'm really looking forward to seeing another ceramics artist show their work. Jeremy Kane Jr. just had a show up at the City Museum, so that was a fantastic exhibit. And then we've got Mercedes coming up, and hers is spectacular. The layout and design, and then the individual pieces, it's really... I can't say enough good things about her exhibit. The individual pieces are so strong and so beautiful, really spectacular. But then the way that she composed it as a whole, wall by wall. So you look at a wall, and a wall turns into, kind of a single piece, almost like a painting would be. Really visually satisfying. But then the entire gallery space is just composed so well. And she has a really unique shelving system for display. I hang the shows. Part of my job as artistic coordinator is to put up all the mounting and all the shelving. And in hanging her show, I mounted over 100 individual shelves for her to show her work with, which was quite the undertaking. Patching the walls after this exhibit is going to be something else.
It sounds great. It sounds very intriguing.
It's spectacular. She made over 100 tumblers, which are kind of tall, vase-like cups, and each one has intricate design and detail, and it's really incredible. And she also, as people I think have heard, she created all of the plates for what we have going on Saturday, our fundraising dinner.
Let's talk about that. So that was First Friday, something at the City Museum, and then something at the Canvas, typical hours, 4:30 on. Check that out, and they'll be there for the month. But let's talk about the Canvas fundraiser. Where is it, and what is it?
So every year we do a fundraising dinner, and part of the fundraising dinner is a handmade plate. It's at the Canvas, starts at 6 o'clock. On Saturday at 6 o'clock, and we still have some tickets left. You can get tickets at the Canvas or go online, canvasarts.org, and you can purchase tickets online there. But the plates, you get to keep your plate from dinner, and they're all hand-thrown by Mercedes Munoz. They're porcelain, and we have a decaling process that we do. It's completely food safe, dishwasher safe, microwave safe, etc. And we get a decal from one of the artists that we work with at the canvas, and this year it's Joanne Sam's work. And the plates are beautiful every year. They're really exciting, but this year they are hands down the most beautiful they've been.
That sounds great.
I'm amazed by her craftsmanship. And then we also have a silent auction that we put on with the dinner, which is really exciting because being an arts-oriented organization, we get donations of a lot of artwork from local artists. So it's a really great silent auction and a great opportunity to pick up some new artwork while contributing to a good cause.
Sounds great. So that's 6 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes.
And you can buy tickets at Canvas or online at the Canvas website. How much are tickets?
Tickets are $60, which really is a steal because anytime I've ever shown my work and sold plates, I generally end up selling them for about $50 to $55. So you're basically getting a plate that's handmade, beautiful, and a dinner.
Yeah, that sounds great. And supporting a great local resource.
Absolutely.
Well, Brandon, thanks for all you do and for dropping by today. And we definitely have to go check out the canvas over the weekend, not tomorrow night, and definitely the City Museum.
All right,
thank you so much. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to chat with Nancy Ducherney about what else is going on in town. Stay tuned.
Is Bird Note. Because they are largely silent now, in winter, we may think that most birds have left us. But many are still here, and, driven by necessity, even the shy and secretive will sometimes reveal themselves. For hunger, like politics, makes for unlikely companions. One such companion found me on a winter day while I was cutting firewood. Slender, crimson-topped lichen, called British soldiers, march along the loose bark of a downed tree. The chainsaw roars and chatters, spitting sawdust, a loud and fearsome force. Then from under the loose bark, up pops a large grub, as big as my thumbnail, glistening white. And in the wink of an eye, a Pacific wren darts from hiding in the underbrush at my feet and gobbles the grub. The wren's eagerness conveys its great good fortune in finding this feast in the dead of winter. The Pacific wren, like its cousin, the winter wren of the east, finds food wherever it can, sometimes even in the face of apparent danger. And for the surprise and companionship, well, I was happy to oblige. We think of ourselves as the observers of wildlife, but of necessity, and more often than we know, we are closely observed. You can always hear Bird Note shows again on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Okay, welcome back. Nancy Ducherney has braved the elements to walk across the street to tell us what else is going on
so much.
Juneau, Alaska. We're going to go right into it. So
we're
Nancy,
going really fast. Okay, tonight we've got, we've got Bluegrass Thursday over at the Red Dog Saloon at 6:30. This is our last weekend to see Seven Brides for Seven Brothers at JDHS, or Our Voices Will Be Heard at Perseverance. And let me just say, don't miss either one of those. The Perseverance play was amazing. Okay, it is First Friday, and you've already talked to several people about First Friday. Come by the Jack and get your little flyer. We have Alexandra Bookless, and it's a beautiful show, I have to say.
What is it?
Ceramics Ooh. And etchings and drawings, and it's a multimedia thing, and it's beautiful. She's just about finished with it over there. Copa's got Monica Dougherty. You've talked about the City Museum.
I did.
Okay.
Avery Skaggs.
Annie Kales has Robert Fletcher and Constance Baltock, and next door at Alaska Robotics, they have a comic artist, Anna Bon Giovanni. Sea Alaska Heritage has Doug Chilton, Renee Culp, and Rhonda Butler, and admittance is free for the First Friday time.
Wow.
GCI has photographs by Kent Chastain from The Porch and Beyond. Kindred Post is having one of their fun photo booths, Words from the Heart, and they have live music by Tom Loker, and of course snacks, she says. There's always the Rainforest Yoga at 5:15. This week it is with Lindsay Kirchhoff. The Juno Artist Gallery is featuring Ella Johnson Bentley, but it's also a call to artists. So if you want to be a Juno Artist Co-op person, find out there. BOEM will have cupcakes, and they will be showcasing their new spring collection. So
an ugly cupcake.
I know. Who wants that subject? I'm sure all cupcakes are
time.
Cute.
I know. It's about time my cupcakes got some time.
And over at the Alaska Brewing Depot, Soul Review will be performing, and they will be featuring Smash Mosaic, Jalapeno Imperial IPA, as well as Hop Turn IPA.
Wow.
Light snacks. So they got some stuff to do.
So that's the downtown trend, but what else
And there's
going
also
on?
Going on out at Gonzo is an exhibit. So
holy moly, and yeah. UAS and the Rec Center. And
there's just plenty to do. You've talked about the Have a Heart for Sale.
We did.
At the Rookery.
Now, what about this? There's a dance.
Well, and also there's World Quest Trivia.
That's Friday night.
That's Friday. That's first Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And then there is at 7:30, Viva Cuba Latin Dance Party with Heather Hoagland.
I took her class last night.
She is amazing, and it's great to have her back. There's also a Mardi Gras dance party at 10 o'clock at the Red Dog. So they recommend that you get all your little beads and stuff on and go out. So let's see. Saturday, there's a polar plunge at 11:30 out at the Auk Bay Harbor
UAS
Boat Launch.
Yeah.
Okay. Anna Bongiovanni, who's here at Alaska Robotics, is doing a workshop called Honesty in Comics from 1 to 5 over at the Douglas Library. That's free. There's a Valentine making party at the Downtown Library. There's Juno Got Talent auditions at 3:30 at Juno Dance Theater. There's the Queer Film Festival. They're showing Tangerine this week. There's several opportunities to see that. There is, at 5 o'clock at Centennial Hall, a beer tutoring with Alaska Brewing and K2. And it is followed by the Seafood Fest at Centennial Hall. There is also, you mentioned, the Canvas fundraising dinner. Plenty of food Saturday night.
And a beautiful play.
And there is at 7 p.m. the Lysander Trio, which Jazz and Classics is bringing. And they'll be performing at the Jack. On Sunday, there will be the Science on Screen filming. I believe at 7 o'clock we talked, there was a Science on Screen talk. Did you talk
about
that?
Yeah, 7 o'clock, okay. out Sound and Motion at UAS, and then the screening of the film is on
Sunday at 4 and at 7.
At the Goldtown.
At Goldtown. You have a second opportunity at the talk at 6 o'clock. We might have already made it. On Monday the 8th at 6 p.m., what are ACEs? ACEs, and why are they important? This is a talk at Elizabeth Paradovich Hall. So we got a lot to do.
I know.
Go to the calendar and get the rest of the details.
Definitely go to jahc.org, see what you want to do, and grab your tickets.
Master Gardner's
Fest is, oh my gosh, too. Seafood Fest is sold out. Canvas has like 6 seats. So, Nancy, thank you for coming in.
Thank
you. Doing that so efficiently. I really appreciate that. Hey, tonight, 7 o'clock at KTO News, tune in for Intelligence Squared. Tonight's subject, should the U.S. let in 100,000 Syrian refugees? So that's 7 o'clock tonight, KTO News, right here on your dial. It is 3 minutes to the hour. The weather is raining outside, lows around 36. Tomorrow, rain in the morning, and then scattered rain showers in the afternoon, snow level 1,100 feet. Friday night, numerous rain showers, then numerous snow showers, snow accumulation maybe up to 1 inch at sea level. Saturday, numerous rain showers, and then we're looking at rain and clouds and maybe little snow hovering in the mid to late 30s. Thank you for tuning in. Tomorrow, tune in again, and there will be the usual Juno afternoon stuff, as well as the Friday Fireside Lecture Series, and then the weekend workshops that we were just talking about with the comic artists, visiting comic artists, Juno Artist Gallery, and a preview of the Lysander Trio, all that and more. Thank you for joining us. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. Have a great day, and we'll see you on the web.